and it went right along with what everybody said was going on. And he said a certain thing, I'll tell you what he said, until we catch this, we're not gonna go to the next step. So, anyway, everybody, if you will, turn to St. John.
John.
Chapter 16. And we'll start in verse 8. And you got about a second to get there. 16 and verse 8. It says, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I've said many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it you. Kind of like what Ray was talking about, the Father there this morning and that Son there. But what we want to key in on is verse 10 of righteousness. You know, Creflo, he said, this, he thought this is where the church is missing it. They don't understand their righteousness. We're going to look at another scripture here in a minute, but before we do, I'll let you go ahead and turn there. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But I'm going to tell you a story here first. That's happened in my lifetime. Years ago, this company I worked for, we went from an old computer system that was real simple and basic over to SAP. Anybody ever heard of SAP? Well, it's a German company. And it's written in German. I mean, they give us English words, but I mean, you talk about something complicated. Yeah, I mean, right when they turned us on, they were turned on this day. Well, 6 months prior, they give us like 2 days training. 6 months later, how many of you know you don't forget?
Yeah,
that's true. And this SAP, I mean, some of the guys I've worked with, they never heard me cuss. The one we got this SAP, man, I mean, I just... Anyway, cover all that up. But let me tell you about a little girl named Maji that come on. Maji was a little Chinese girl, and she come on with the company, and she was, you know, she'd been trained in this SAP. She knew, I mean, not only just the business, she knew the financial, all the structure of SAP. And she come in the company, and she went, I mean, she started getting promotions after promotion after promotion. She's a director of our company now.
Wow.
And I mean, just by doing the system. Okay, let's check out 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start reading verse 7. This is talking about the old covenant. Here it says, but if the ministration of death written in engraving and stones was glorious, remember Moses had his face shown, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, Old Testament, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. All right, let's jump down to, let's keep on reading. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelled. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which the veil is done away with in Christ. But even in this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Mm-hmm. But we, that's us, all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And this goes back into the ministration of righteousness. When we understand our righteousness, we go from glory to glory. You know, Miss Mary's telling us, you know, the Lord's coming for a glorious church. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Lord, you know, he says, my righteousness as of me. You know, we get our righteousness from him. You know, mm-hmm. It's nothing we conjure up. But, you know, going back, you know, it all goes back to the cross. Mm-hmm. What the Lord did that day for us.
Yeah.
And us understanding that we are sons. We are daughters of the Most High God. Now I'm finishing that story of the project. Y'all remember last Saturday when the shooting there in Pittsburgh? Well, Monty had married this Jewish guy. And the couple that was killed, the Simons, Monty's like, that was her mother-in-law and father-in-law.
Oh.
So good. So, you know, y'all pray for her this week. You know, I'd send her some email.
I'm sorry.
Lodgy Kurt.
Monty. Machi. But, you know, that, and let me share something with her. I've read about her mother and father-in-law. They'd been married like 62 years and had attended there 62 years, but they was married there and they died there.
Wow.
And even in all that ugliness, I thought, you know, that's kind of a different one. Anyway. Established in righteousness. Amen.
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 Tell that, Mary. That's right. It's just beginning. It's just beginning. What did we see in the Father's house in the parable we were studying? Singing, dancing, music and dancing in the Father's house. Yeah. And the older son heard it. I hear music. I hear dancing. What's going on? We're having a party. Reconciliation. Yeah.
Can I say to the class?
Sure.
I'm having to leave early. But I will see y'all next Sunday. And we're going to go into the glory. We're standing on the glory.
All right.
The greater glory.
The greater glory. Yes. Amen. Brother Davies, you stole what I was going to talk about. It's a good introduction, right? Really. It just hit me yesterday, and I was sitting there thinking about this. And I was just sitting in front of my computer, blank screen sort of thing, and thinking, well, God, you know, what do you want to say to me? And I started, you know, getting thoughts and typing them up and everything. And it's something I had thought about in the past, but I never had typed up anything about it. You know, I never had written it out. And so I wanted to share with this a little bit with you about this. You know, he was talking about learning. You know, the people, the Jews, were under the old covenant, right? But they had to learn the new covenant. They had to put the old covenant aside and accept the new covenant. And if you read most of the New Testament is all about that. It's all about putting the old covenant aside and embracing the new covenant. And one of the things that kind of a catchphrase that came up with on this, you know, about learning, in order to learn something new, you have to unlearn something old.
Change your mindset.
You know, you have to do away with the old. You have to turn your back on what you know.
Absolutely.
And what you know that works.
Absolutely.
You have to turn your back on what you know that God gave you. I know this is the truth. God gave me this truth. But in order to learn something new, you've got to put that aside.
That's a powerful statement.
You've got to turn your back on it and move on. Now, that's a powerful statement, but that's a weird, wild statement, right? But let me show you. The Jews had the law of God written in stone by God himself on the mountain. But what did they have to do? They had to embrace the new covenant written in the blood of the Lamb, right? That was difficult for them. That was very difficult for them. But look what people gain when they go with the new covenant. How many of y'all would like to go back to having outhouses and detached kitchens? No, we all like to have that. Wood fireplaces, wood stoves.
No.
Yeah, that would be great to just have candles and lamps, you know. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We could go back to that. We wouldn't have to have all this electricity and some modern conveniences. We could only go as far as we could walk in a day. Or ride a horse, right? Y'all would like that, wouldn't you? You see, we laugh. We look back and we say, oh man, no, we wouldn't want to do that, right? You wouldn't want to go back to communicating only by writing a letter and sending it snail mail, U.S. mail, right? That's kind of slow now, isn't it? We don't want to give up our telephones. We may have a problem with some of these new phones, but we don't want to give them up. Right? It's hard to learn this new phone compared to the old phone. You just picked it up, hit a couple of numbers, and you were there, you know. But this phone requires a lot more knowledge, a lot more learning, right? You have to stop, you know, now you don't even look at the numbers. Now you may not even know the numbers. All you got is a name. You just hit the name and boom, it calls a number for you. All right? Well, that's actually a better way. It's actually a better way. But you have to stop doing the old way to get the new way.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you have to stop with what you know works. Right? You know God was happy with you doing this. You got blessed when you did it. But someone brings up a new way. God may be wanting to move you to a new way. Now let's look at some of the folks that had a problem with this. We got examples of this in the Bible, running out our ears. You mean it's all over? Here's Peter, right? He's tired. He goes up on the rooftop to take a nap, right? Now, Peter, he has embraced the new way. He's embraced Jesus. He's embraced Jesus' teachings, right? So he has left the old way of doing things, and he has embraced Jesus' way of doing things, right? You would think. You would think. Right? But what happens? He has a dream. What happens in the dream? He sees a sheet being lowered down out of heaven. And on the sheet are animals of every kind, clean and unclean. And as the sheet comes down, he hears a voice saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter, who's probably hungry, He says, "Oh, no, Lord, I've not eaten any unclean thing. I don't do that kind of stuff. I know your law. You say don't eat the unclean stuff. I'm not going to do it." The sheet's taken. Oh, and he hears a voice then. It says, "What I have say is clean. Don't you call unclean." What? "What I say is clean, don't you call unclean."
Yeah.
It goes back up into heaven. And probably Peter's going, you saw his face while he was sleeping, going, you know, he's troubled by this, you know, he's kind of, ooh, you know, making faces in his sleep, you know, going, oh, what in the world is this all about? It's hard to change, isn't it? It's hard to change. Therefore, as he was dreaming, it happened again. The sheet comes down out of heaven. Hears the same voice. Got the same thing on the sheet. The animals unclean and clean, you know. Voice says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter says the same thing in return. No, you know, you're testing me. I'm not going to do it, you know. And he says, what I say is clean. Don't you call unclean. And she's taken back up in heaven. Happens again. A third time. Three times is magic, right? I mean, that's a special number, right? If it happens three times, by golly, it's special. Happens a third time, Peter wakes up and he's going, what is going on? You know, this has happened. What is it that he wants me to know? What is it that God wants me to know? So he goes downstairs to get something to eat. You know, he's dreaming about food, right? So, you know, this wasn't exactly about food, though, was it? So he goes downstairs and he finds these folks have been come from a centurion, right? And they want, you know, the centurion sent them. He needs Peter to come to his house. Into his house and tell him the gospel. And boom, it hits Peter. Oh. That's what it's all about.
Because that was actually against the law.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it's all about. If God is calling that centurion clean, then I can go into his house, okay? And I can even spend the night there, and I can eat with him, and I can share with him the gospel. You see, I can share with him the good news. All right? So the Jews, like you say, they didn't go into the Gentiles' homes. They didn't go in and eat with them. But he was requested to come to the centurion's house. And he went. All right? That was hard for Peter to do. All right? Three times. It was hard for Peter to do. That was hard. Did he have anything to help him? Did anything happen before that that might help him in changing his mind? Taking what he knew for sure was God. And casting it aside to take what God has for him now. Right? God wants to do a new thing. Right? God says, behold, I do a new thing. Right? So what did Peter have before that happened? I'll tell you what happened. Peter, James, and John got to go on a special little trip with Jesus up the mountain. On the top of the mountain, y'all know, everybody's nodding their heads, yeah. Mount of Transfiguration, right? And they're standing there, and suddenly Jesus gets transformed. And they go, ooh, you know, he looks totally different now. And then suddenly they see two other guys. And they somehow know that they're Moses and Elijah standing there, and they're talking with Jesus. Whoa, Moses and Elijah. Man, we're impressed, right? We're impressed. These guys, we thought they were dead. But here they are talking to Jesus. You know, Moses and Elijah are actually talking to our rabbi. Wow, that's cool, isn't it? So Peter says, you know, why don't we make three tents for you guys, you know? Y'all can sit under them. The sun won't beat down on you. And suddenly Moses and Elijah were gone. Gone, totally. And a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son. My son, listen to him. Now, what did Moses and Elijah represent? We all know that they represent the law and the prophets. So the meaning of this, Brother David, is, oh, I'm exalting my son above the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets, you listen to them. This is my beloved son. Now, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. this is incredible. But this is so true. When we are going, if we're going to move from glory to glory, right? We're not moving from era to glory. We're moving from glory to glory. But when we move from glory to glory, we're going to have to do what? Turn our back on the former glory and embrace the new glory. Right? We got to turn our... Sometimes, I'm not saying this applies to everything in life, okay? But sometimes we have to stop doing things the old way to embrace what God has for us today. Understand? So, they had to do it. When we hear preaching that is mostly Old Testament, we're going to have to do it too. When we hear preaching, when we hear teaching that does not line up, all right, with the new covenant, we're going to have to say, no, thank you. You know, this worked for me in the past. It worked for me in the past, but now I'm embracing a new way, a greater glory.
Yeah.
Right? I'm embracing the greater glory because the greater glory is going to be better than the former glory.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about Old Testament, New Testament. I'm talking about moving on in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Moving on what God has for us. Everybody knows when Jesus comes back, we're going to reign for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
We're going to have to stop doing some of the things we're doing now.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to start doing some things in the new millennium.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
When we leave this old earth and we go to the new earth, where Gwen's working on for us. Yeah, he's building that new, his happy Jesus built that new earth. We're going to have to stop doing things we did here.
Yeah.
Even though they were godly things. Things that God wanted us to do. But when we get there, we'll be doing different things. We're going to go from this glory to another glory. So think about that. Some of the hardest things I've had in my life is to turn away from what worked to something new.
Yeah.
And I am so stubborn. I am so hard-headed. You can't believe how long it takes me to embrace some of this new truth. Okay.
You learn how to change your mindset.
Yeah, you really do. You really do. And it's, like I say, I am so stubborn. I am so set. It's really hard for me. It takes me years to embrace some of these things that God has given me. Things about provision. Okay. Things that I've shared with you. Portion even. You know, so many things that I've shared with you. It's really hard. It took me years to get these things. Why did it take you so long, Ray? It's pretty simple. It's right there in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because I'm just hard-headed, I guess. You know? And I had to learn, let it go. Let it go and embrace something new. It's scary. It's scary.
Yes.
Let me tell you, first time somebody got on a train and went roaring down the tracks, it was scary. They thought speed would kill them. You get going so fast, it'll just kill you.
50 miles an hour, they said you'd die 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, 50 miles an hour, you'd die, man. Well, we know now it's not going 50 miles an hour that kills you, it's a sudden stop that kills you. If you hit a brick wall, you know. It's not the speed that kills you, it's the acceleration or deceleration.
Yeah, buddy. You don't need those trains. I'll travel at the high speed of 15 miles an hour.
So, but you know, we have to get over that fear. And we have to get over our ignorance. Okay?
Yeah.
And we have, you know, even though what we know is God, when God wants us to move us on to something else, He wants us to move you from a glory to a greater glory.
Amen.
Okay? So keep that in mind. And when you find yourself hanging on to what worked in the past, but now it doesn't seem to be working, think about that. Maybe I need to let that go and move into what God has for me next. Okay? Because that's how I found it out. When I was doing didn't work anymore, hey, it worked in the past, but it's not working now. What's going on? God's doing a new work. Amen? All right. Thank you.
Ease out. Let you finish there.